Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
At Stella Blue Coffee, we believe good coffee is one of life's non-negotiables. Stop drinking those boring, tasteless, big coffee beans and turn to Stella Blue. Remember, your mornings are sacred. It's time to start treating them that way. Not only are Stella Blue Coffee's premium beans sourced from the most coffee-rich geographies on Earth, but I approve of them, which is obviously more important. Stella Blue Coffee's delicious roasts are available in cold brew, pods, ground, and whole bean formats to seamlessly fit into your morning coffee routine. And every bag sold helps save dogs. Stella Blue Coffee, it's time to take back your mornings. Shop now at StellaBlueCoffee.com or Amazon.
Reveille, reveille, reveille. It's a Friday edition. It's a Thursday edition. I'm not even sure what days we release on anymore,
we
honestly.
We should start calling it the early edition and the late edition.
It's right? Just an edition of Zero Block 30. Yeah. And today we have three rounds of the magazine. We don't know what day it is. We don't know what day you're listening. But we do know that if you are listening, you're going to hear some good shit. Because the topics today, they are intense and they are good. Round number one, protesting is American as it gets. But I guess there really is a limit because we found out this week that protesting by using the veteran suicide hotline actually bad. Round number two, we're going to bring on our friend Patty the Batty. He's going to join the show to talk about the time just a couple of weeks ago where he fought 10 Marines at the same damn time. He's going to talk about that and how his nice, lovable attitude is switches in a snap of the fingers as soon as it's time for him to actually step into the cage and beat somebody's brains in, or usually do a triangle, flying triangle choke or something like that. He's Patty the Batty is the man. Round number three, major protests are breaking out across Iran after the morality police killed a woman over her hijab. Here, one of the major journalists that turned down an interview with their president over the same hijab. Like, so what basically happened is she was going to sit down with the president of Iran. She didn't have her head cover. His people showed up late, and then they were like, you got to do this interview with
the
head cover.
The most important part, she was here in New York, and no other Iranian president has ever required that on U.S. soil. And she stood her up, but we'll get into it when we get to it. But
yeah, that story is wild, too. And everything that's happening in Iran is obviously awful as well.
Hey, guys, it's Big Cat, and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern. For the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1, every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 this Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
Stuff to talk about today. So let's go ahead and get into round number one. Kate, what do we have here?
Yeah, I know, especially cons, you're familiar with clogging things up, but this is even worse than that. This is you're more of a looser kind of guy. There's no worries.
I'm more
there.
Free flowing kind of fella.
I know.
Got Beach Boy vibes.
Got Beach Boy vibes. And we know a story is kind of big, especially that when we start getting tagged in it by a ton of people being like, what is you guys' thoughts on this? What do you guys think? And I'm like, yes, we definitely think this is not great. A self-titled group of patriots launched a concerted effort to crank call the Department of Veterans Affairs crisis line on Monday and urged supporters to clog the line with calls complaining that veterans arrested for the January 6th Capitol Hill riot are being mistreated while in custody.
Is that word, is the word patriot the most co-opted word that you wish you could take back? Because patriot now, I think the way that it's looked, the way that it is implied, it's bad. Like, if you see somebody with patriot in their bio, you're like, that's a red flag. And it shouldn't be that way. Patriot should still be a great thing. Now, like, it's these crazies that have co-opted it.
Right. Yeah. You know, another word I just thought of, too, that I might fall in that same category, maybe not as grand, but freedom. Does that one that resonates with you guys?
Constitutionalist.
As
Oh, if you have a ton of patriotic stuff in your bio, I'm like, oh, I'm about to be called a cunt. Damn it. Same. Yeah, I don't know.
And we are very patriotic people. We love this country. Like, we do. Absolutely. And it's like, you're not patriotic, pal. You try to overthrow the fucking government, you weirdo.
I know. Another big one is hashtag girl dad in the bio. I know someone's in the DMs calling me a slut. That's, I always look and see it. I'm like, wait a minute. Anyway, so long story short, these January 6th riot defenders are clogging the veteran suicide hotline. Actually bad. Located in Bunker Hill, West Virginia, the 1776 restoration movement. I was hoping that was a Bob Vila go to old homes and restore the old. Anyway, he describes itself on Facebook as a patriot movement for the restoration of our constitutional republic and a return to moral society. Originally part of the People's Convoy, which has tried to clog traffic around DC to protest vaccine mandates, the group's leader, David Santa Riddell, was arrested on July 4th.
Red flag. Your nickname is Santa. That's a red flag.
Yes, this is true. Mm-hmm. And he was arrested on July 4th for blocking roads in the nation's capital during an Independence Day parade. On Monday, the group led a live streamed vigil outside the VA's National Capital Regional Office in DC when a man who identified himself as Justin Johnson told people watching the event online that they could help help the cause by calling the Veterans Crisis Line. Dressed in a red shirt that read Tun Tavern, Johnson said, "So you dial 988. They made it easier than ever to call. So you dial 988, you press 1. Johnson,
which sounds like the shit that we say when we talk to you about at the end of the show, say for us, like, hey, there's a new veteran suicide hotline. It's 988. It's like 911, but it's easy to remember. You don't have to remember 15 digits or whatever. That's exactly what they do. But this guy was nefarious.
Yes, very nefarious. He said, so let them know there's inhumane treatment going on in the DC jail. Johnson also claimed that more than half of the political prisoners currently in custody are veterans, including combat veterans who served in Iraq and Afghanistan. And he urged supporters to call the crisis line to tell the VA to intervene on these veterans' behalf. I think that's one of the most shameful and embarrassing parts of January 6th is that so many veterans were involved. It is unclear how many of the group's supporters call the veteran crisis line. But long story short, very fucking bad thing. One person tweeted a text purportedly from a veteran in crisis who was unable to get help on Monday because the line was busy. When I couldn't get through, I almost went through with my plan, but then my mom intervened. The text says, this has real world consequences. I just pray nobody took their life. Task and purpose, this article was for them. They were unable to identify the verify the authenticity of this text. But either way, what the fuck, dude? Like,
I mean,
what
think about
fucking fuck.
To clog up the Veterans Crisis Line to the point that you get a busy signal when I mean, I don't know how many people they have working the Veterans Crisis Line, but I have to imagine it's a lot. So the amount of people that had to get involved is pretty ridiculously off the charts that they're causing
Terrence
busy
Hayes, who is the VA press secretary, and I know him pretty well, Duval guy, Jags fan, great guy. But he said that that didn't happen, that they had enough infrastructure in place where there wasn't any, but the attempt to do it, like it's the attempt.
Okay,
it's the good initiative, bad judgment. It's bad judgment, bad initiative all the way across the board doing this. How in the world do you think that that's going to get you any type of sympathy for your political action? Like, it's just not like protesting is obviously an American way of life, but come on, man. Like,
so
have
but
a little
I think
fucking decency.
This leads to something that we're going to talk about later with that other gentleman. I think people too often lean into the veteran moniker and say like, oh, we have to be treated a certain way because we're veterans. And if you mistreat us, you hate America. We all kind of like say it tongue in cheek and kind of laughing. But they're almost saying like, we deserve this attention because we're veterans. And they're using it to their advantage when in reality, it's embarrassing. And that's not why any of us served, and it's not why any of us expected to receive when we were done serving.
Let's get into that story about what Khan's is talking about. Kate, there's another story that we got tagged in a shit ton right away. Yep. And usually when it's stolen valor, we don't get tagged a lot if it's stolen valor for some dude that's hanging outside of a gas station looking for a free donut on November 10th. Like, we don't get that. We don't get it for if somebody is trying to get a little freebie at Best Buy or something like that. We get it when it's a politician, and we get it when there's widespread fraud or something like the Sarah Kavanaugh case from a couple months ago. But this one, when you're running for Congress and you have a good chance of winning running for Congress, and you start lying about your service, to a pretty stolen Valor type of place. We're going to talk about it. Kate, what happened here?
First of all, so this is about a gentleman running for the Northwestern Ohio congressional seat. His name is, he's Republican. His name is J.R. Majewski. Okay. And let me just read you one of his tweets from August of last year. I'm a veteran of OEF. I'd gladly suit up and go back to Afghanistan tonight and give my best to save those Americans who are abandoned. Why isn't our president all in? So he had a bunch of tweets like this where he's talking about suiting up, going back. The tours that he did, the people he saved, like talked a big game.
And there's another time. He's done several podcast interviews where he almost gets a case of the weepies. And if you've listened to this show, you know I will never cry shame because I'm the Steph Curry of crying. I cry more than anybody else on the Barstool Network by far. I would say times 10. I'll never cry shame.
Yeah.
That being said, you cry shame about some made up shit. Pretty bad. Pretty
much whatever side of the fence you're on, if you are a veteran running for some seat in Congress or Senate or whatever, the biggest thing you do is fluff up your service to everybody and make a bunch of super embarrassing ads. But anyway, he's doing just that and he's lying. Campaigning for the Northwestern Ohio congressional seat, Republican J.R. Majewski presents himself as an Air Force combat vet who deployed to Afghanistan after the 9/11 terrorist attacks, once describing tough conditions, including a lack of running water that forced him to go more than 40 days without a shower. Military documents obtained by
that's
the Associated Press.
That's a big fucking feather in your hat. I think that so many folks talk about how bad was your deployment? Oh, well, how long did you have to go without a shower?
Yeah, how bad your butt crack smell? How bad your goop smell?
9 years without a shower.
Oh, yeah. Big liver time. King. Mm-hmm. Military documents obtained by the AP through public records tell a different story. Surprise, surprise. They indicate he never deployed to Afghanistan, but instead did a 6-month stint helping load planes in Qatar.
Which there's nothing wrong with that. Like you did what was asked.
Yes, that's
like, that's what drives me nuts. If this guy is like, I want to run for Congress, I did my part, I served. You don't even have to say that you weren't a combat because who fucking cares? Like that to me, I don't give a fuck if somebody's a combat veteran or not. I really don't.
Well, everybody has these qualifiers that they like to say, like I was a combat vet or, you know, they were in the Ranger Battalion because they think to the outside public, I think there's certain things that veterans think, well, if I did this, that and the other thing, that stacks me up higher than other veterans, because honestly, you know, the vast majority of the public, they don't know any different. But we're here to say, like, everybody's service is honorable. Everybody did their part and we thank you for your service. So whether you were in an airbase in Qatar for 6 months or you were in the mountains of Afghanistan, you still raised your right hand, put on the uniform and went overseas and served.
This is the only time I care. This is the only time I care if you didn't. If you say you did and you're running for office, even if you were fucking Joey at Cracker Barrel and you made this same shit up and you were in Qatar loading up stuff and you're like, I went to Afghanistan, I wouldn't care. Like, I really wouldn't. And I don't know how many times I've said that on this show. Most stolen valor stuff, I don't give a fuck about. But if you're running for a major political office where you're one of 500 and something people that have the ability to decide laws in the country, tell the fucking truth about what you did.
Yeah. Especially in 2022, like, when we can easily find out if you
James
did
LaPorta
or not.
Is on the fucking block. James Reporter from the Associated Press, he's going to find your ass.
Yes, he certainly is. He's going to, James Laporta is going to report it. You know what I mean? That guy's going to be fucking snooping
more like
around.
James, a reporter,
It does sound like J.R. Majewski has a lot of baggage from that deployment. Or nope, that's just what he was loading onto planes, folks. Anyways.
But we will never talk shit about our loadmasters. We love our loadmasters.
Yeah, he also has a biography that is everything. His post-military career, he's been called out for a ton of exaggerations, huge conspiracy theory guy, talk of violent action against the U.S. government and occasional financial duress. The guy's kind of a mess. But remember, it didn't strike me. I'm like, who is this guy? Who is this guy? He was the pro-Trump hip-hop rapper who made a song. That's who he is. So, all right, now he's winning me back over a little.
Because I didn't get – I saw there was somebody – another major like military Twitter person that was talking about like hip hop and this guy, like he doesn't look like a rapper type of thing. And I was like, what? Are they making a joke that he looks kind of like Jelly Roll? Like, is that the joke here? But he was actually a rapper.
No, I think he mowed trumpet to his lawn and then did a rap and it was a whole big thing. It's also concerning. He used to work in nuclear power industry. So That's a good time. Always good to know. He's a promoter of QAnon, and he was also at the U.S. Capitol during the insurrection on January 6th. So,
which he says, I don't like this fella, but one thing I do like, depending on who he's given an interview to, that's his answer of if he regrets being at January 6th or not. A little more mainstream, a little more centralist. He's like, yeah, I regret it. Probably a bad decision. Somebody super far right, he's like, hell no, man. I love being out there. I'd do it again. It's just a wild card. Just to say anything.
And I, you know what the crazy part is? Like, I don't think it matters that he got called out for this. Like, I don't think.
No,
it matters,
I don't think so either.
At all. Like, it's.
It should. I know. I hate the thing. I agree with you guys, but yeah, it should. But I don't know that it will.
And it's not just this guy. I mean, it's basically the same thing that happened with Blumenthal, like Senator Blumenthal, where he talked about going to Vietnam and he never went to Vietnam.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not like this is a new thing, but there's so many of these veterans that are out there that they're giving this image of this last action hero, like DeSantis, the governor of Florida. People think that he's a fucking fighter pilot. He was a reservist lawyer in the Navy. Like, he's not some fucking last action Tom Cruise type guy. Like, and that's being a JAG officer is honorable. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. Why lead on that you were a Navy? You worked in a SEAL battalion or a SEAL squadron or whatever.
They made a freaking movie about the Navy JAG officers. Come on. Right. What are we talking about?
My favorite military movie ever.
Seriously. Be proud of that.
Majewski has this campaign ad where he's going through a vacant factory with a rifle. And he's pledging to restore America that's independent and strong, like the country I fought for. And it's like, dude, you have to know we're going to Google you. Like, you got to know. We're going to Google it a little
bit. And not just that, but there's people you worked with. Like, that's why, like, on this show, there's thousands of people that I served with. If there's a story that comes out and there are people like, no. You don't think the Marines that hated me, like, whenever I was in, because I was such a dick, would be like, this motherfucker never did this shit. Like, that never happened.
He's just been Googling all this dog stuff for the last 6 years. He doesn't know.
Again, he's either a lunatic or he's smart enough to know it doesn't matter that he's lying.
Doesn't matter.
It truly doesn't matter. That's where we're at now.
Yeah.
He can say whatever he wants. They can clog the Veterans Crisis Line and it doesn't matter. That's how far down
that's the beauty of saying that I don't believe any news sources, that you don't believe any news sources.
Right. Makes it easy to skirt that.
They lied. They got rid of it. They hacked into the system and deleted my deployment from a DD-214. Damn liberals did it again. All right. Let's move on to round number two.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Where we're going to bring
Thanks
on somebody who's not an American. He's actually from across the pond. It's Patty the Batty. He's one of my favorite up-and-coming fighters, and not just because he works at Barstool. I think I'd be a huge Patty the Batty guy. Anytime somebody gets punched in the face and their beautiful blonde hair starts flopping about in the wind and they smile about it with blood on their teeth, that's somebody for me. Here's Patty the Batty. Now on Zero Block 30, I'm privileged to have one of our guys at Barstool. He's a rising star in the UFC. He's going to be wearing the strap around his waist at some point. It's Patty the Batty. Patty, thanks so much for joining us, my friend.
What is happening, the gang?
Oh, yeah. So, and
go ahead, Kate.
We're having you on the show today because your most recent YouTube video got over 5 million views, and I immediately recognized it because you were on my old military base, Camp Pendleton, doing McMap with the Marines.
It was great, to be honest. I had a good day with them. It got sprung on me as well. Like, I knew I was going to Camp Pendleton. I knew I was doing something with the Marines, but I thought it was literally going to be me showing them some jujitsu. And then when I got there, I just got told I was jumping in a circuit and doing a big crazy workout. And as you know, San Diego's hot anyway, much hotter than the UK. So I was dripping in sweat. Like,
and you can tell in the video, you're like, I was up late last night. Like, I was out. Yeah. I had no idea this was happening. And then I thought, at first, when you started doing the workout circuit with them, I thought, oh, he's just being nice and pretending this is hard. But by the end, I could tell, like, it really kicked your ass. Like,
yeah, by the end, I was, as I say, dripping in sweat. I mean, like, soaking. It was all, like, I'd done weights the day before and sparred twice that week. So when I was, like, doing the squats and the lunges, I was like, oh, my God, my legs. my legs are just, they're just not coping well.
When you go into a place, because Dave Portnoy always talks about when he goes into a bar and he meets people, he always looks for weird brains. Do you do that as a high-level MMA fighter? You go into a room with a bunch of dudes who think they know some shit, and the next thing you know, you're rolling with somebody. Do you recognize talented folks right away? And was there anybody there that was any good?
Yeah, there was a few lads who, and I just straight away after doing a few little things, I knew that they'd done jiu-jitsu. You know what I mean? You can tell, because some people have like certain mechanisms what we do in jiu-jitsu. Like, if I told someone to pass someone's guard who didn't do jiu-jitsu, they'd just try and rip on your legs and end up getting submitted. Where if she told someone to pass the guard who's done jiu-jitsu, they'll put the knee up and knee slice pass through. And that's what a few of them done. So, like, the first lad who I rolled with, and when I ended up rolling with 10 of them consecutively, the first lad who I rolled with, he I think he was a blue belt in jiu-jitsu. He was okay. He knew what he was doing. He was the one who, when I was doing the moves, showing them, I was doing them on him because he knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
And when I saw that you went up against 10, I was fucking pissed, dude, because like about 3 weeks ago, the last time I was in New York, I was telling Alex, who fought in Rough and Rowdy, I was telling her about some of the training. And whenever I did it at the McMap instructor course, we did 5 in a row where we had 5. And I was like, it was tough. We had 3 minutes that you go, a fresh person comes in, you do 3 minutes with them, then a new fresh person comes in. And then I saw you do fucking 10. And I was like, come on, Patty, just do 5 like the rest of us.
Some of them were longer than 3 minutes as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember last guy was like, do you want to just call it a truce? And you were like, no, yeah, I'm not going to finish this one out.
He was like the 9th person and I ended up in a triangle on him, but you don't see before that. Like, I ended up sitting in his guard. So just like sitting on top of him for like 4 minutes, just getting my breath back while letting him try and escape to use his energy.
Yeah.
And then I have to ask, like, what were you doing out in San Diego? Because it seems like you've been there a good amount recently. Like,
my manager lives in San Diego, to be honest. My manager lives there, and now it's like, it's a home from home. So when I'm in America, that's like my base, really. And normally I'm in San Diego when I'm in America most of the time.
And the vibes are so similar. Liverpool, San Diego, same weather, same
style of tacos.
I wish it was same weather, know what I mean? Yeah. But it is I love San Diego. You know what I mean? I could live there in the future, definitely.
And one thing, go ahead, Kate.
Well, have you been surprised by like your reception here in America? Because people are going crazy for you. Like, I know you're like hero status in Liverpool and in the UK, but like, how has it been over here?
Well, it's quality. Like, I love it. It's great. Some people are like, I don't like the fame. I don't like this, and I'm like, nah.
But yours is a little different, Patty. I think it's different when you're a little and people just want to snap a little selfie of you. When you go into a ring or an arena you're not even fighting in, now it's like, oh, Patty the Patty. That's got to be like the biggest thing that gets your dick hard. Like, you walk in and people are like, fuck yeah, dude, I'm Patty the Patty.
Yeah, the only thing, the only time it annoys me literally is when some people are rude. When I'm eating, know what I mean? Just don't listen. When I'm eating, as you know, I love me food. It's not even that though, it's just the I think it's quite rude to ask someone when they're eating, know what I mean? But you know, any other time I don't mind. I do say a lot lately though, what's the magic word?
Yeah.
Because not like I know a lot of people don't say please, love.
Right. They just kind of expect like this is the way it is.
Come on, what's the magic word?
Yeah,
I felt terrible this morning. A young lad asked me, and I just said, as I always do, what's the magic word? And he looked at me and went like that, and I realised he was deaf.
Oh, yeah.
And I just put my arm around him and went, come on, lad, get a picture.
my friend. When we were training at Pendleton and you do like rifle ranges and stuff like that, one of the things that they always teach you about is a positive mental attitude. One of the things that I noticed in your last fight is you're always super boisterous. Even when you're backstage, you're watching Molly fight or you're watching one of the other people that you train with, you're always going like bananas in a good mood. You're happy. You're bouncing around. Then you're coming down the stage and everybody's slapping hands. Then there's a moment where everything switches for you. And you could tell Patty is fucking locked in now. Where did that mindset go where you can shut out everything and then you just turn into Patty the killer instead of Patty the nice guy and Patty the clown that everybody else knows?
Because that's the way I feel like you have to be in this game. You know what I mean? Like, I know some people that do go in there and they laugh and they joke and stuff. Some people even talk and have a chat with their opponent. You know what I mean? But for me, once that cage door shuts, so after my warehouse, once that cage door shuts, no one else in the world matters apart from that fella in front of me trying to take my head off.
And you said to the Marines, like, you, there's no point of even doing this if you're not saying, like, I am the best and I'm going to kick your ass. Like, I am going to win this. Like, if you don't go into it with that attitude, then what's the point of doing it at all?
Exactly. Yeah. I've seen people taking what I said about Francis Ngannou out of context on MMA pages. People saying Paddy the Baddy thinks that he beats Francis Ngannou. No, I don't. I don't. He's a big beast. I just think no matter what, whoever you put me in there with, I'm up here, I'm not strong, and I don't care who it is. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Yeah. I have that much self-belief and self-confidence, and I will beat whoever you put in front of me. You know what I mean? I'm not good at many things. I'm not great at a lot of things, but I'm great at fighting.
Yeah.
So I'd put myself in there against anyone for a fight any day of the week.
Yeah, you know it. You got to have that confidence. Another part, too, of, like, the mental toughness, one of the Marines is asking you, like, have you ever found yourself having a tough time? Like, do you have any advice for us if we find ourselves struggling mentally? And I love the message you said was get it off your chest. And I think it's so important for these guys to see, like, you are tough as nails. You kick ass in the ring, but, like, or the octagon, I'm such a dork, you know, in that fighting cage you guys go. But, like, at the same time, like, taking care of your mental health is such a huge thing. And I think it's so awesome that you're putting that message out there.
It's just nice that now a lot of people, more people are talking about it. You know what I mean? Like, as I say, I didn't expect what's happened over the past since me fighting, since I spoke about it, that happened. I didn't expect it at all. A lot of people in my position should be doing that. And that's one annoying thing for me, that people in, not just UFC fighters, MMA fighters, but people who are in the public eye in general, more people should talk about it and they don't. And because of that, more and more people are killing themselves. Mm-hmm. So I just thought, I'm going to talk about it. And I really didn't expect what's happened. Like, I've been getting so many messages about being charities, what's it called? Like, the face of a charity. Mm-hmm. But I'm in the process of actually making my own charity. I want to actually make a difference. I don't want to just talk about it. You know what I mean? Yeah. And make it seem that way. And, like, go and do a few charity nights. I actually want to make my own charity and make a difference.
Yeah.
And I got to be honest, like, I was surprised to hear your stance, like, right after you get in, you're done with the fighting, and you immediately switched over and your personality changed again from one of who's ready to do extreme violence to somebody and knock them the fuck out to talking about people, about their feelings and their emotions. You don't usually get that kind of dichotomy right away. Were you, as a fighter that does have the ability to turn it off, how do you walk around, like, day to day? Because that dude that is a killer is inside. How do you keep that kind of locked away and focus on what you have to do day to day?
To get that out any other time, you know what I mean? But as you say, the gym helps a lot. Like, when I was younger, I was a little bit angry sometimes. Now and then I'd punch walls and smash tennis rackets and stuff, but obviously, when I got into the gym and got into training, that helped with all that, and it helps like an anger side as well as a mental side. But I was just put on this earth to fight off. I can't explain it any other way. When I had my first fight at 16 and won, I beat a 24-year-old on a week's notice. I was like, my hand got raised, and when it got raised, I was just like, this is it.
Holy shit!
I'm not meant to do anything else. This is what I'm meant to do. There's nothing else I'm meant to do. I just knew it straight away. They say you know what your calling is when you get it, and my calling was MMA fighting.
That's awesome. And do you know what's coming up next for you now?
I'm going to be fighting in the States. It's going to be in the States. I'm going to be in the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas in December. So
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure a ton of Barstool people are going to be out there for that, cheering you on. I have no doubt.
Definitely. Well, it'll be a Barstools and Liverpool takeover of Vegas.
Like, yeah, that'll be one wild takeover of Vegas.
Oh, it yeah, they won't have ever seen the likes of it before.
Yeah, I think that'll be definitely a good time. Chaps, I'm calling it. You're going
to
go.
Yeah, I would love to go. I'd love to go watch your fight. Patty, thanks so much for joining us on ZBT, my friend. Thank you.
Anytime. I just know that. Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks,
Patty.
Yeah, I like him so much and find him, because I'm not huge. I don't follow fights too much besides Barstool's like Rough and Rowdies. But
you are a big Rough and Rowdy head.
I am. Yeah. But if you ever served, you have to be a little into MMA on some level. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We all had an Affliction t-shirt.
Yeah, I was going to say, we all owned an Affliction shirt at one point.
We're all big fans. But what I like about him so much, and he has said this in interviews, like, I think he is going to bring it even more into the mainstream because he's so relatable. You see these guys like covered in tattoos and rough and tough. And I'm like, that's cool, but I can't relate to it. He's just like, he makes you believe that it's like, I don't
he
think
absolutely
it's
looks
way.
Like he could be your local bartender at the pub around the corner.
Yes, it's like if he can do it and achieve his dreams, like, fuck, maybe I could do. Like, I don't mean that in a shitty way, but like, he's just so relatable.
I think he'd be the first person to say that that's exactly what he wants. Like you said that you had read an interview about kids can't relate to somebody like Conor McGregor because he looks like an American, or he looks like a gladiator. Like when he walks out, he looks the part, like kind of how Tom Cruise did in Fury. Like he looks the part of a tanker. That's how Conor McGregor looks. Patty the Batty looks like he's just your fun cousin that comes over and crushes a couple beers with you on the weekend.
And if you're like a small town kid from Liverpool, you're probably like, holy fuck, like that's me. I could do like, I don't know. I just really love him. I think he's just a good human being. Him and Molly.
He's also the quintessential example of today's day and age, why you should not try to get into random fights with people that you don't know who they are, because you're going to run into a Patty the Batty and get your ass kicked before you even know what's going on.
He's
you know what
San
crew
Diego
he would be
lately,
great in?
So.
Like what's that?
A movie crew. You throw Patty the Batty in with Ben Affleck and Will Hunting on Good Will Hunting in that squad, and he fits in perfectly.
Absolutely.
Just an awesome human. And I think signing Patty the Batty and Molly Meatball is one of the smartest things Barstool's done. One of their bigger moves in the last like couple of years. I think that's super smart. They're awesome.
Yeah, if you haven't watched Molly Meatball's last couple of fights, you should. They're some of the best fights. Like if you like intense, unbelievable knockouts that take your breath away, like when you're just sitting there, that's Molly Meatball. All
right, I was just going to say, when you get the attention of The Rock, you're doing something right.
Yeah,
that's pretty good. All right, let's move on to round number three.
Are you looking for relief, relaxation, or to party on the motherfucking moon? Then check out 3Chi's new True Strains lineup of cannabis vapes and gummies tailored for specific effects. And the best part? It's delivered straight to your door. Visit 3Chi.com. That's 3CHI.com. And for a limited time, get 20% off with the code BARSTOOL20.
Okay, I first saw this popping up on Twitter a few days ago, and now it has blown up into major protests across Iran. And it all has to do with the morality police killing a woman for not wearing her hijab in Iran. So the father of an Iranian woman who died in police custody last week has accused authorities of lying about her death as protests rage nationwide, despite the government's attempt to curb dissent with an internet blackout. And I follow all these like experts in Iran and on the Middle East, and they were saying there's been protests before, but this is the first time that the people are fighting back, that women are ripping off their own hijabs in the street and screaming in the faces of the morality police. That men are arm in arm linking up and taking rubber bullets to the back to protect the women. And they're saying, we're standing up for the women too. We've had enough. This is the first time that they're really seeing in cities across the country, people saying enough of this. And Amjad Amini, whose daughter Masa died after being arrested in Tehran by the morality police, said doctors had refused to let him see his daughter after her death. And there's photos on Twitter when this first happened. The photos have leaked, and I think that's part of what's spurring this. Photos of her in the hospital, severely beaten. Mm-hmm. Now, Iranian officials have claimed she died after suffering a heart attack and falling into a coma. But her family said she had no pre-existing heart conditions, and Iranian pro-reform, public skepticism over the official's account of her death has sparked an outpouring of anger. Again, he's saying they're telling lies. Everything is a lie. No matter how much I begged, they would not let me see my daughter, he said to BBC on Wednesday. When he viewed his daughter's body leading up to her funeral, it was entirely wrapped except her feet and face, but he noticed bruising on her face. I have no idea what they did to her, he said. CCTV footage released by Iran state media showed Mahsa Amini collapsing at a re-education center where she was taken by the morality police to receive guidance on her attire. Her death has sparked an outpouring of anger.
Even in this news report, those, like, the quotations are just so fucking gutting because you know how much that implies. Like, in this report that Kate is reading, re-education is in quotes and then guidance is in quotes. And it's just knowing what happens at those places. Those are very loaded quotation marks.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Her death has sparked an outpouring of anger that has snowballed to include issues ranging from freedoms in the Islamic Republic to the crippling economic impacts of the sanctions. Protests and deadly clashes with police have broken out in towns and cities across Iran, despite authorities' attempts to curb the spread of demonstrations through internet, cutting out the internet. They're trying to stop people from communicating so people can't gather, all kinds of different stuff, and to stop people from seeing the images of her that leaked out of her. Her face was just tubes all over her body, her face just enormous from being beaten so badly. And again, I'm seeing experts saying they've never seen it like this, like something is different this time. Meanwhile, on the U.S. side, all this going on in Iran, their president is actually here in the U.S. and Christiane Amanpour, world famous news reporter, like probably one of the biggest that we have. This is her tweet thread really quick. Protests are sweeping Iran and women are burning their hijabs after the death last week of Mahsa Amini following her arrest by the morality police. Human rights groups say at least 8 people have been killed. Last night, I planned to ask President Raisi about all this and much more. So she had an opportunity during this crazy time to sit down with the president of Iran. That's a huge deal. And that interview would have been huge. Mm-hmm. This was going to be his first interview on U.S. soil during his visit to New York for the UNGA. After weeks of planning and 8 hours of setting up translation equipment, lights and cameras, we were ready, but no sign of the president. Within 40 minutes after the interview had been due to start, an aide came over. The Iranian president, she said, was suggesting I wear a headscarf because it's the holy months. I politely declined. We are in New York, where there is no law or tradition regarding headscarves. I pointed out that no previous Iranian president had required this when I have interviewed them outside Iran.
So that's pretty common. Like, yes. And a lot of times, even if you are now like Western reporters, they don't go as far as they used to. Like, I remember in the 80s and 90s, if you were a Western reporter and going to report on like the Gaza Strip or something like that, you would cover.
Yeah.
Now it's not nearly as much so, or if it is, it's very, very loose. Being in New York, being in America, for generations, we haven't abided by those types of customs. Like, because this is America, we're not going to do that. Yeah.
If she was there, she would. But she's not. He's here. The aide made it clear that the interview would not happen if I did not wear a scarf. So this fucking asshole, this president, dickhead, is being like thinking he's going to get her to do it. He said it was a matter of respect and referred to the situation in Iran, alluding to the protests sweeping the country. Again, I said I could not agree to his unprecedented condition. And so we walked away. The interview didn't happen. As protests continue in Iran and people are being killed, it would have been an important moment to speak with President Raisi.
I don't mean to be cynical, but would he have said anything that was...
I think her pressing him on an international stage, and I think her asking some questions, especially with all the sanctions, but he would have looked like a fool if he had no answers for anything.
I think that they kind of know that too. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they wanted her to back out and put this on her because she knew that she would never accept it. Because something like this, one, you're getting questioned about women's freedoms in Iran. Let's be honest. Like, this is all about women. Two, to have the president of this country that has all of these very strict orders and regulations in place, and then to be questioned on an international stage by a woman who didn't have her head covered. That's the reason why he didn't want to do it, because he didn't want to look weak in front of his hardliners back at home.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, credit to her standing her ground and not, you know, succumbing to his requests. And he probably thought she was going to eventually flinch, and she didn't flinch. So
you know what I would have done? I would have put a headscarf on with pussies all over it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. That would have showed him.
Well, I'm doing one big pussy on the top.
One
of those pussy hats like at the Trump inauguration.
Yeah.
The pink pussy hats.
How would it have looked if she's like, okay, yeah, I'll wear the headscarf, put on the headscarf, and then mid first question takes the headscarf off just to like,
and then ties it around its neck and is like, answer my questions.
Who's your daddy now, bitch? Yeah. Who's your daddy now?
Yeah, I would have watched the shit out of that. Absolutely.
I don't know if I would have gone all and said all that, but yeah, that could work too.
Well, what do you think would happen?
Scoops him up out of the crotch of it and gives him a wedgie. Hmm?
She pulls out a gun, shoots him in the face.
What? No, that would have been a little much.
Too far. I
mean, would have been better than a little
that.
Much.
Yeah. That'd be an international incident.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about something else. That was also one of the big stories that we wanted to get into as well. Ukraine and Russia. A lot of people don't give a fuck anymore, but there's a lot of things happening in that country. We did a TikTok. Follow us on TikTok, please. I'm wasting my time. It feels like making these TikToks. Just follow us. I'm just begging that, and go to our YouTube as well. But on this, what were we talking about? Russia
drafting the troops.
So they have, there's 25 million military veterans that live in Russia that are between the ages of 18 and 65. President Putin, looking at how poorly the things are going in Ukraine and their special operation, their war against Ukraine, they are going to recall all of these people or recall some of them. Because they are trying to do that, there is widespread fleeing from Russia. People are like, hell no, we ain't staying. So he was supposed to do this speech. There's leaking about the speech, kind of like whenever President Obama made the announcement that Osama bin Laden was killed. There's a lot of scuttlebutt that there's going to be a huge announcement, what it's going to be, and reporters were going back and forth trying to figure it out. They had essentially confirmed that this draft was going to be put back, or recall was going to be put into place, and word started to spread around Russia. As soon as that happened, all the different websites that book flights, like their version of Wikipedia or Expedia, their version of Google Flights and things like that, some of them even started to crash because the people trying to get out of Russia was so damn extreme. There was 20, I think it was 20 something miles long backup from highway to get into Finland. They're all across the border. People are trying to get the fuck out. Right, Kate?
And they're also starting to protest. Yeah. So Russia sent out draft notices to 300,000 men and they're acting on it. There's already, I saw a video this morning out of Irkutsk, which I thought was only on the risk board. That's a real place of men saying goodbye to their families. And you have to feel like at this point, if they have any inkling or they're hearing any scuttlebutt of how the war is actually going and they're getting past their state media and hearing like real news, it's essentially, oh, I'm getting sent into the meat grinder. And for what? And so people are like, nope, fuck this. I'm fucking out. I'm done. So they're trying to flee. It'd be like, people do not want to fucking go and get drawn into this again because they see how poorly it's going themselves.
And I was reading from some of the Ukrainian reporters like Saint Javelin that we've had on the show that Kate interviewed. He was talking about how it's pissing off the Ukrainians watching the Russian response to this, because during this entire occupation of Ukraine, when they're trying, Russia's trying to go into Ukraine and they're killing all kinds of civilians, the widespread media reports here in the United States and the Western world predominantly has been that there's nothing that the Russians can do about it. Like, the Russians are going to go to jail if they protest. They can't be outspoken. As soon as this word of 300,000 people getting drafted came back out, they took to the streets and there was big protesting. So people like St. Javelin are like, you didn't give a fuck whenever they were doing mass graves in Donbass. You didn't give a fuck whenever they were shelling children's hospitals and children's schools and things like that. But it's when your people have to come kill us, that's when you get upset. And if I was Ukrainian, that would infuriate me, man. And that's what they're saying. There's no that they want to keep going through Donbass and all the different like places, Crimea, the places that have been taken back by Russia. Ukrainians are like, hell no, we're going to get that land back.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, and it's, they're getting fucked. Like, Russia shut down. If you're a man between age 18 and 60, the airlines aren't even allowed to sell you a plane ticket now. Like, he's closing in the borders. You're fucked. And eventually you're probably going to get sent into this meat grinder, essentially. And it's ragtag. Like, there is a difference, too, between people who are in the military and want to deploy and people who don't want to fucking be there. Like, a whole battalion of dudes who don't want to fucking be there.
They're
useless.
We've talked about that. So the will to fight is, I think, the most important thing in war. It's more important than the weaponry you use. It's more, the will to fight is everything. Ukrainians have the will to fight to protect their homeland, to protect their heritage, their culture, their people. And the Russians, by and large, are like, we don't give a fuck.
I think too, another part is like for many of them, it's been a long time since they served and Russia's already stretched thin. They're going to have to train all these people, equip all these people, and it's going to be another pull as well.
And so a lot of this people I've seen some folks on the military side, like, oh, well, these are a lot of these are veterans. They're professional soldiers. Some of these people are 61 years old. When is the last time you think that they picked up a fucking weapon or went for a run? Yeah. Like, we're talking about these people like they're still, dude, we've been out. I've been out 10 years. If you were like, hey, chaps, you have to go back in. And what you're going to do is you're going to be the platoon sergeant. You're going to teach everybody how to break down weapons. You're going to teach all this, the normal platoon sergeant shit. I wouldn't have the first fucking clue about what
those
to
are.
Do.
You better, they better hope they don't have any Kates. You know me. The second I EAS, I dumped literally.
They walk everything. Up, Kate, what's your fifth general order? No idea. Carry
I don't even remember what general orders are, chaps. What? Yeah, nothing. Nada.
I used to look at people that got out whenever I was in and be like, how the fuck could you not remember what order your awards and shit go in, you nasty fucking thing? And now the further I get from it, I'm like, tracks.
Yeah, get it.
I can't remember.
No clue.
If you guys had to right now, could you go qualify with a rifle?
Yes. A rifle, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's like riding a bike.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I obviously wouldn't shoot as well as I once did, but I qualify.
Yeah, I could.
I think the only ones that I might not be able to qualify, I would, because my lungs are fucked up and I'm coughing all the time, I would hate to have to go back to the gas chamber. Like, I wouldn't want to do that one at all. I would not want to get OC'd at all. Yeah. And I think the swim test, like the high level swim test, would break me off more than I've ever been broke off in my life at this point.
Yeah.
I think I'd be completely lost if you put me into an FTC and said, hey, we need to put some rounds down range. I don't know if I remember where to even start. All that would look like hieroglyphics to me at this point.
Yeah, it's essentially
the military equivalent of asking somebody to go through and do a work cited patient Chicago style whenever they've been out of school for 10 years. You're not going to remember to do that shit either.
Right.
I never did it in the first place.
I don't either. I just use websites. I'm like, these are the articles in the books I use. Can you give me a work cited page, please? I go to UTSA.
100%. Yeah. No, never did that anyway. Forget it.
That's how it went. All right. Let's move on to some save rounds and alibis. Cons, we'll start with you, pal. What do you got?
No joke, I think I might have a cane sauce problem. I was at Raising Cane's the other day getting my box combo with extra sauce on the side like usual. I have an order. When I eat my Cane's, it goes crinkle cut fries, chicken fingers, the Texas toast, and finish strong with the slaw. So I start eating, and before I know it, I'm scraping the bottom of my sauce, and I wasn't even done with my fries yet. This habit is escalating, and I'm 100% here for it. Dip into Cane's. Get extra sauce for me, please.
You know what? We're all going to be all about Kate right now. Number one, Kate is cooking in Merchapalooza.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if you want to buy any merch right now, go use promo code Kate. Pretty simple. Get 10% off and help our young Catherine in Merchapalooza.
It's 25 grand. If she comes in first place, she gets $25,000.
So pretty great. I think that's all together. So I would get 15 grand and I promised to split half of it with Majestic.
Why came in. I'm so feeling bad of you doing this. Where are we sitting at with your OnlyFans, by the way?
I stopped doing because I felt guilty that guys were paying and I wasn't putting any titties on there.
Are you kidding me? Take advantage of these horny fucks, Kate.
No,
like, you
can't.
Have to deal with it, your DMs and your ass all the time. And you're not even
at night.
It's $7.
It's not worth the anxiety to me, man.
So are you not getting the money anymore?
I don't know. I don't even know. I don't even look.
Oh,
I don't even check.
That's an integrity violation. Kate's getting the money. It's still deposited. It still shows up with a fucking plus green number in her Navy
I'll
federal
have to go
account.
Check.
Unreal, Kate. Katie, integrity.
I swear to God, if you think I regularly check my bank account, you're insane.
Oh, yeah.
Every single day.
You barely check your text messages.
Every time I go to take money out, I never know if there's what's in there.
That's like a 22-year-old move, Kate. You got to be better there.
She's at the store, whatever, at the register, just like, I hope this doesn't get declined.
I max out my 401k. I never use credit. Which is also probably bad. And so
I always think
I've got money. So, you know.
But didn't you, wasn't there a time where you forgot that you had like a 401k or thrift saving plan? Didn't that happen?
Oh,
and
yeah,
you had
still...
$40,000 or $50,000 more than you thought you did.
Yes, which is I'd say that's actually like a bonus is that I live in La La Land sometimes, because then I find out surprises all the time. Like, oh, okay,
best surprise ever that way. Money regards. It was when I went with Erica, with Tom Schumann, to that Marine Corps ball in Las Vegas, and I went and played blackjack or something like that, and won like $600 or $700, and went and cashed it out and put it in the pocket of my suit.
Oh, wow.
Went home the next day, completely forgot about it, that it was in there, because I had had some drinks and shit. The next time I went to go use the suit, I went to go put my wallet in there and hit it. And I was like, oh my God,
that's
dude. Like,
awesome.
It was,
because that's not like, oh, I found bucks. $10 in my jeans when I was doing the wash. $600 is a good find.
It was a great find. Yeah.
You know what a cute thing is? This is, I'm kind of veering topics here, but I'm big time on mom Facebook and stuff now. And this mom had this great idea. You know, like clear
Facebook?
clear lamps. That like you can fill with seashells or whatever. But this mom was like, from the time my son was little all the way.
I put all his baby teeth in there?
No, no. Every time she did the laundry or whatever, not that only women are doing laundry, everyone, but anytime she found stuff in his pockets, she put it in a little bucket. And then in the end, she filled up the lamp, and it was like all these little like plastic army men and trinkets and
that's a great
dollars
idea.
And like cute little things idea. That kind of was like a timeline of him growing up. There's probably a couple joints in there by the end.
That's fine.
Couple
on the show Smothered condoms. On Discovery Plus, one of the moms that's there, she actually saved all of her child's baby teeth, and the mom lives in New York and the kid lives in Florida, and whenever she misses her daughter, she goes into the bag and smells the baby teeth. So yeah, watch Smothered on Discovery Plus. It's incredible. Anything else for Save Rounds?
Yeah, one other thing. Also, right now, Aaron is all of the Barstool mini golf tournament, and Kate is doing well in that as well. However, I did hear some rumblings that the only reason Kate did well is because Chaps and I weren't present to also play. She would not have made it as far had we have been there. But nevertheless, she's still doing well, representing well for ZBT. And we love that for our team as a whole and for her. So that's all I got.
ZBT shirts, 10% off right now. Promo code Kate. I wore the same version of this, but different color yesterday. I fucking love these shirts.
This new rope hat. It's coming. I promise you it's coming. A lot of people have been asking. I promise you it's coming.
There you go. We're all crushing it today for the merch.
We're all fucking having a great time. Kate, you got any save rounds?
By the time you listen to this, I will have been through the dentist this afternoon. Pray for me. I've thought about canceling a couple times. I'm like, no.
Don't.
I have to go. I know. I literally think they're going to have to gas me or something. Like, I think she's going to have to just punch me in the face and then start.
Are you going to a periodontist or a dentist? Okay, you're going to the dentist. We'll just assume that's the dentist. So you just going for a cleaning?
Cleaning and x-rays. And I
know. Are you going to pull out some of your old hygienist lingo? Impressive.
Yeah. Oh, are you using the Hydropon scraper tool? Yeah, I love dropping bicuspid on their asses. I will say that
they're fucked.
Stay tuned for the coming months because... stay tuned for the coming months because I'm sure when they do the x-rays, they're going to be like, oh my God, you need like 15 surgeries on your mouth.
No, what you're probably, I'm going to suspect, because I got those bad Irish gums as well. You're probably going to have to maybe go to a periodontist and get a super deep cleaning. But
should
other
I just
than
get
that,
two of those Mr. Wilson chiclet teeth?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do that.
Oh, get it like my old working dog that had one titanium red and one titanium blue. So he had red, white, and blue teeth.
That's fucking badass. Mm-hmm. That's fucking badass.
Mm-hmm. He was an awesome dog. I don't have any save rounds. Other than that, we'll see you guys here next week on the retreat.